no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a cop.
It's just me, not you.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging. Mostly because there's no grass on the golf course. But there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag. I love the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What is happening, folks? Welcome back to the Beltway Golfer Podcast. This is episode 82. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. It is major championship week, second major of the year, the PGA Championship at Valhalla in Louisville, Kentucky. And we've got a competitor on the podcast, Larkin Gross, assistant professional at Westwood Country Club, just moved over earlier this year from Springfield Golf and Country Club, made it into the PGA Championship for the second time via the PGA Professionals Championship, which was held at PGA Frisco just a few weeks ago. Larkin is one of two Mid-Atlantic PGA section pros to get in. The top 20 from the PGA Professionals Championship qualify for the PGA Championship. Larkin and Josh Spate from the club at Venatera down in between Richmond and Williamsburg, both finished T8 at PGA Frisco and are in the field. So super cool to chat with Larkin. This is his second time doing it. He qualified for the 2021 PGA Championship at Kiowa when Phil won it. And he also played in the Wells Fargo Championship in at TPC Potomac just a couple years ago. So he's got some experience now under his belt, and we get to chat with him about, you know, what he can take from his experience at Kiowa back in 2021 and apply it this week. You know, what the PGA Professionals Championship was like, what the scene on the ground was like, his prep for the PGA Championship, what his week's going to look like, and just learn more about Larkin in general. I've met him, I think, once before this podcast, but this is the first time I really got a chance to chat with him, get to know him a bit. And he's a great interview. And had a lot of things to say and gave us a lot of fun nuggets about 2021 and, you know, and his thoughts on how he's going to approach the week, and hopefully can pull some magic like another certain PGA professional did last year that we talked about, Mr. Michael Block. Super excited to get to know Larkin a little bit, and certainly we'll be cheering for him on the ground this week at Valhalla. Before we get to that interview with Larkin, shout out to Pinned Golf. Go to pinnedgolf.com, P-I-N-N-E-D golf. They've got a variety of high quality range finders in all sorts of different colors that, you know, don't put too much stress on the wallet, but are dynamite rangefinders. I just switched over from a rangefinder a couple of months ago to Pinned. I was regrettably using a rangefinder that I bought from an Instagram ad. I'm a little bit ashamed to admit that. I won't name the company. It was one I hadn't ever heard of before, and the rangefinder really wasn't that good. It was a regrettable purchase. But the Pinned Golf, the Prism rangefinder that I'm using, is dynamite. Go to pinnedgolf.com. They've got rangefinders, they've got speakers, they've got swag. Again, enter code Beltway at checkout. You get 15% off, and you're supporting this podcast and what we're doing here in the process. Not too much else to share. Let's jump right into it. Go to beltwayoffer.com, sign up for our newsletter, check out other podcasts, follow us on social media, rate and review this podcast. All of that stuff really helps if you like what we're doing here at Beltway Offer. But let's jump into it. Here it is, episode 82. Of the Beltway Golfer Podcast with Larkin Gross, assistant professional at Westwood Country Club and competitor in the PGA Championship. Enjoy. Larkin, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So I appreciate you coming on the Beltway Golfer Podcast, because I know you've got a monster week ahead of you next week. You qualified for the PGA Championship at Valhalla by finishing T8. At the PGA Professionals Championship. So congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's big week coming up, lots of travel. We just got back from Texas a week ago today. So yeah, it's been a lot of travel the last couple of weeks, but it's exciting. It's a good problem to have.
So I want to hear a lot about the week, but this is your second time getting through. You got through 2021 when So this week was at PGA Frisco, the new facility outside of Dallas. I heard you on another podcast say that at the time in 2021, that event was like the biggest event of your life, or like the most nerves you had felt.
Yeah, definitely.
And you got through and you got to play at the 2021 PGA Championship at Kiawah. So I want to talk about that too, but I'm curious, like, now that you have some of that experience, what was this past week at PGA Frisco? Like, now that you've got that experience is a few years behind you, what was this past week like?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I'm trying to figure out which process is the best. So this was my fourth PNC in Frisco this year. So I played at PGA Golf Club in 2021. 2022 was Omni Barton Creek Resort in Austin, Texas. And then last year was Twin Warriors Resort at out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So this being my fourth time, I've kind of started to get a little more comfortable in the routine and getting prepared and everything. And I think it makes a big difference. And I felt really prepared when I got there. So leading up to it, I felt really good about my game, felt good about what I was doing. And so I think that made a huge difference for the week. But it's a big event. If you take the stuff we can qualify for, so like the PGA Cup and PGA Championship, if you take that out of the equation, the PNC is the biggest tournament we play every year. 312 professionals, all the best from around the country, and you got to get top 20 to make the PGA. So it's a very competitive tournament, and it's very important to all of us.
So it shows what I know. I have to refresh listeners and maybe you here. I'm a layman in the golf world, so I'm not a PGA pro, so I don't even know lingo. So I didn't know it was referred to as the PNC. Is that Professional National Championship? Is that what that stands for?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's gone through a couple names. The PNC is the old name. They technically call it the PPC now.
Okay.
I believe it's because this is just my guess. I don't know for a fact, but I think it's so people don't get confused with the PNC father son and the PNC that's on the Champions Tour as well. But originally it was the Professional National Championship is what it was called. Now it's called the Playing Professional Championship, I think, or the Club Pro National Championship is what it's referred to a lot as well.
So can you give, you know, a lot of listeners this show, I mean, there's obviously a big mix of different listeners, but a lot of folks, you know, are public golfers listening to this that maybe are not really familiar with what goes on in the world of competitive golf within PGA professionals. Give us a glimpse into how good are you guys? You know, people follow the PGA Tour, but how good is the talent in these PNC events and when that was down at Frisco?
Yeah, so you've got a mix of a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of club pros get into the game or get into that side of the business because they were really good players at one point. So guy like Brad Merrick. Brad is a phenomenal player. He's played on a lot of mini tours for forever. He played professionally for a while before he became a club pro, and now he teaches out in California. Same thing with, you know, Rob LaBritz is a great example. He was a PGA professional for his entire career, and now he's playing full-time on the Champions Tour. So there's a, you know, they're very good. We're very good. And I won't even speak about myself. Like, I could name off Tyler Collette, phenomenal player. Josh Spate, the other guy from the MAPGA that made it. I mean, we're really good players. And Ben Polland, again, the guy who won this year, he went out and played on Korn Ferry for a little while. So, there's players who are not only really good, but also have a lot of experience playing at a very high level. So there, you know, am I going to sit here and say that we're PGA Tour professionals? Of course not. But given everything going correctly, like exactly like what Michael Block did last year, which I know Blocky really well. We were partners in the PGA Cup in 2022. When things go right, we can make crazy stuff happen. I mean, T15 at a major championship for him last year, and all the insane stuff that he has gotten because of that. Now, you know, we're good players, very good players, but we just don't spend every day working on our game like the tour guys do.
Sure. Do you know of any? I mean, I know you played at Division III powerhouse Methodist and had opportunities to play D1 golf, right?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to play. I was looking at Longwood for a long time, and George Mason was another one that I was looking at for a while.
But so all these, I mean, the majority of these PGA pros, certainly the ones that are qualifying for this event, all have serious, you know, they're all college golfers at one point, right? Or do you?
For the most part, yes. And now, I wouldn't say, like, some of the PGM programs. So, like, I've got a buddy, John Mayer, who went to Campbell, and he's a very good player. But Campbell didn't allow you, if you were in the PGM program, to play on the team. The coach was very strict about that. So Methodist, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, and I believe there's one more, will allow you to play on the team while you're doing PGM. But a lot of the other programs won't let you do it because of the internship requirements.
Okay.
So because you have to be gone for so much, like a long period of time, you can't really be fully committed to a D1 program. Now, there have been a couple exceptions. There was one guy that did it at Campbell that made it work. And then there was one guy a couple years ago recently for Coastal Carolina that did it for his final year. But he wasn't on there all 4 years. He walked on his final year and made the team and was a stud. So it's interesting. But as far as programs that allow you to do it, it's mostly University of Maryland Eastern Shore and Methodist will allow you to do both.
What is the app? I mean, obviously getting into a major is just huge. So yeah. Like what is the vibe and the scene like at the PNC? I mean, is it tense? Is it, are guys fraternizing, or is this like, especially when you get to the final round there, you know, what is the atmosphere like?
Yeah, I think it's both, actually. You know, the practice rounds are a really cool experience to kind of get to see all the guys you only get to see really once a year. So, like, I've got a lot of guys that I know from the Met section, Dylan Newman, you know, guys like that. Tyler Collette, I know really well from the South Florida section. So it's good to see them and talk to them. But, you know, when it's time to crack down and bear down and get ready for those last couple rounds, it does – I wouldn't say it becomes tense, but – there's a little bit less chatter. Like, everybody still talks when you're warming up. If you see, you know, a guy, you know, you say hello, hey, and everything. And that was my dryer. You talk a little bit and say hi and, you know, talk and interact with each other. But it does get a little quieter those last couple of days because you know what's on the line. I mean, there's a lot on the line.
Sure. Well, before we talk about Valhalla, I'd love to kind of hear about, you know, it's been 3 years since you played at Kiowa. You know, what do you remember from that week, and you know, what can you take from that week that can help you next week?
Yeah, I was totally shell shocked, and I think that's part of the reason why I struggled so much. I mean, among other things, it's a hard golf course and we had really tough conditions, but I think I'm a little bit more prepared for the surprises that come with it, like all the extra stuff, the really cool stuff. You get, you know, walking into the locker room and you see all the crazy names around you, you see their bags, you see them, you know, you see John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, DJ, Tiger's going to be there this year, which is insane. But no, I think I'm a little more prepared for that this time. I think I let it get to me a little bit, you know, obviously being 23 years old and a little green at that point. So I'm going in with the mindset of enjoy it, but there's no excuses now for me to not play well from a surprise standpoint, right? So I'm going in knowing what I'm getting into. I know that if I go in and go about my process and my business, I can give myself a chance to play on the weekend, which is the goal. And it's just, it's a little bit freeing knowing that, you know, to kind of, I'll be able to take it in a little bit more this time, but take it in from a competitive standpoint, not from a, holy cow, look at all this cool stuff I get to do standpoint. Because it is still cool. There is still, I'm still going to enjoy the really cool stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, I just played really, really great golf for a week at down at Frisco. And so I'm ready to hopefully translate that and maybe make the weekend and do something crazy like Blocky did last year.
Absolutely. Do you, I am curious, since so there's 20 PGA professionals qualify for the PGA Championship at Frisco. Do you guys have to do like events together? Do you guys go together? Do you hang out together? Are you guys, once you're in, is it every man for himself?
So with Corebridge Financial being the new sponsor, we have to do, there's a couple events that they set up for us that we do. Only a couple of them are mandatory. So like we have a breakfast, the Tuesday we get there, or sorry, the Tuesday of that week that we'll go to, and then we kind of meet the Corebridge Financial guys, meet the CEO, all the high up guys, you know, that are helping us and sponsoring us to help, you know, help with our expenses and all that stuff, which is great. They're fantastic. And then we'll take a team picture, so like a team of 20 picture. And then that's really the only mandatory stuff we have to do. The rest of it is, you know, get prepped to play in a major championship. And we're all, you know, all the guys that are going, I know pretty well. There's a couple I don't know super well, but most of them I know really well, and I've seen them and played with them, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years. So we'll definitely talk and, you know, have conversations and say hello to each other and fraternize a little bit. But I think the really cool part about this event and what we get to do is we get to go play with PGA Tour professionals. You know, we can go out and practice rounds and just play. Like I played with Ricky Fowler at Kiowa, and I played with Henrik Stenson, Kevin Kisner, Hudson Swafford. So Brian Harman even, and Joaquin Niemann. Like there's a whole list of guys I got to play with. So it's kind of a unique opportunity that I think Spate and I will probably play a practice round together, but we're going to for sure try and get in with two other PGA Tour professionals to, because it's nice to see what they do, to kind of glean some information.
Yeah. How did that work? Like, how did you at Kiowa, like, how did you get a practice round with Ricky, for instance?
So, funnily enough, my coach from Methodist, Steve Conley, came with me as one of my instructors along with Erica, and Joe Scovern, Ricky's caddy, for a while was coaching Laverne College out in California as like an assistant coach. So coach remembered Joe from when he was coaching, because Laverne was a really good kind of a powerhouse program for about 3 or 4 years in the late 09s, I think, early teens. And so my coach recognized him and went over and talked to him. And Joe was super nice and was like, hey, we're going to go out and play a practice round. Do you guys want to join? And coach was like, yeah, I think he definitely want to do that. And so I played with myself, Ricky Fowler, Hudson Swafford, and Kisner that day, which was really fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a cool experience.
That's interesting. So it is a lot of, it's almost like networking, like right there on the range, trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and also, if you just walk up to the first tee, so the last day, it was a little bit because I'd already played with Kisner once, but the last day on Wednesday, I had totally planned on just going out by myself for 9 holes and just doing that. And right when I walked to the tee, I saw Kisner head into the first tee. And I was like, hey, are you guys playing? He was like, yeah, it's me and Brian Harman. And I was like, do you mind if I join you? And he was like, no, come on. So I was playing with them. And then Henrik Stenson joined us last second.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was really cool. It's kind of like, you know, you kind of luck into it. At the Wells Fargo, I lucked into playing with Max McGreevy. So we just went to the 10th tee and Paige and I were getting ready to hit, and Max came up and was like, hey, do you mind if we join you? And I was like, no, come on. So I got to play 9 holes with Max McGreevy, which is really cool too.
And then at Kiowa, you got paired up with, I have right, Dylan Fratelli, South African, and Matt Jones, Australian golfer.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's those guys or Ricky or Harman or Kisner, you know, are they helping you out at all? Are they giving you any tips for the week? I mean, is it just kind of, you guys are just joking around and just playing golf?
Yeah, so Matt and Dylan were awesome. They were so nice to me. They treated me like I belonged there. They're really great guys. Dylan's hilarious, and so is Matt. But Matt's, I would say, and not in a bad way, Matt was a little more serious. Dylan's got that kind of dry, funny sense of humor. But also, to Matt's credit, he was also like in the lead for most of the first day, so he had to be a little more serious.
Sure.
So, no, but they were both very nice guys. I mean, very, like I said, very gracious and accepting of me, even though I was a PGA professional. They were totally fine with it, and they treated me like I belonged, which was really cool. Another guy that I'd be remiss if I didn't mention was I played a practice round with Lonto Griffin, got hooked up with him through the VSGA.
Yeah, he's a Virginia
guy. He gave me a bunch of good tips, and he was super, super nice and fun to play with. And yeah, it's nice. You know, everybody that I met on tour, like that plays on tour and played practice rounds with, has been super nice. Like at the Wells Fargo, Lonto invited me to play with him and Corey Connors in a practice round too, which was really cool. And Corey is a great guy as well. So they're all very nice.
Are they giving you tips like, hey, on this hole, you know, if you get on this side of the green, this is what you want to do? Or are they giving you like, this is how to deal with this crap this week at a major?
Like, yeah, both. Actually, both, 100%. Okay. So at Kiowa, Lonto hadn't played there before, so he wasn't giving me tips like that. But Kisner had played there before. Ricky had played there before, so they were giving us tips on where to go. Lonto gave me a lot of tips on, like, hey, don't overexert yourself. You know, I know what he said was, I know this is really cool. This is a really neat experience for you. Make sure you don't do too much, because come Friday, you're going to be exhausted. And so, you know, he was like, just do what you need to do. Keep your head down, you know, but make sure you don't do too much to the point where it starts to affect what you are putting out on the golf course, which I thought was really cool.
That's awesome. What about this week? Are there any guys? I mean, obviously it'd be, you know, Tiger is going to be, that'd be awesome. But are there any guys you think you might be able to get a practice round, or you got your eye on?
Yeah. So we were looking, unfortunately, Lonto's not in the field. I'm going to try and talk to Ricky. I actually have Ricky's phone number, surprisingly enough, which is kind of funny, but no, I'm going to try and talk to Ricky and see if he'd want to play. But my wife loves Scottie Scheffler. So Paige, and she's going to be on the bag. So I know that's a long shot, but I know he's a super nice guy, and she's just like, she thinks him and his wife are like the coolest people ever. So hopefully we'll maybe get to do that. That'd be really neat.
Scotty's wife hasn't given birth yet, has she?
I don't think so. I mean, they're like on the day, like we're really close to the day. So no,
they've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah. It'd be really cool. I'm sure he seems like such a nice guy. I'm sure he would, if I were to just walk up to him on the range and be like, hey, are you playing a practice round? He'd probably say yes, but we'll see about that. That'd be really neat. And then there's a couple other guys I was looking at the field list. Sepp Straka, his caddy's Dwayne Bach, who used to caddy for Kisner. So we may try and play with Sepp and Dwayne. But yeah, it's going to be a cool experience. It's kind of also, it's not necessarily planning it out. Like I kind of fell into, like I got so lucky. I played with Joaquin at Kiowa, and it just happened. Like I walked up to the first tee and he was like, hey, do you mind if we join you? And I was like, no, of course not, please. Like, so that's kind of how it works. It happens like that sometimes. So that's probably what we'll end up doing. We'll just head to the first tee and see if anybody wants to go and how that works.
So your wife's on the bag. Who was on the bag in 2021?
My dad.
Your dad. Okay.
Yep.
As your wife caddied for you?
She caddied for me at the Wells Fargo, and for me at the PNC last year and this year. So she's really good. She knows my yardages really well. And I think there's a comfort level that she gives me that is really a benefit. I call it a cheat code. There was, you know, she did a really good job on the bag for me in Texas, because there was a couple times where I was getting kind of down in the dumps and sad sacking, and she kind of pulled me out of it and was like, no, like you're fine. Let's keep playing golf. So she's really good.
Is she a golfer?
Yeah, she's club professional out at Creighton Farms.
Oh, she is. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she works with Erica. She's Paige's one of the assistants over there, starting to get into doing a lot of player development too. So she gives a lot of the clinics and does some teaching too.
That's awesome. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a lot of players out there that I'm not sure their games would improve if their wives were on the bag. So that's
pretty special. It's funny,
yeah, that relationship.
It's funny, you know, we have a very unique relationship, I think, when it comes to golf, because most of the time, like, we hear PGA professionals talk and they're like, oh, if my wife and I played together, we call it the divorce open. And I was like, when Paige and I play together, we play really well. Like, we won the scramble last year. We won the first team event of this year in our chapter. So I don't know. It's funny that it's unique, because I don't see it as unique, but apparently it is. I just think we mesh well together, and I think we give each other a level of comfort that helps both of us play our best.
That's cool. So I assume you guys met at some kind of golf event or function or on the course?
So,
or how did you guys meet?
So we've been together since my sophomore year and her freshman year of college. So we both went to Methodist. So I was a sophomore and she was a freshman, and we started dating about 2 months into, or 3 months into the year. So we've been together since. It'll be 8 years in November.
So Valhalla's next. Have you been out there before? Have you played the course?
No, I've never played it.
What are you doing to kind of prep? Are you playing different courses around here? What are you doing?
Yeah, so That's kind of what I did for Kiowa. I prepped by playing, went out and played Trump National from the tips, played TPC Potomac from the tips, and played Creighton from the tips. So that's part of what I tried to do. I went out and played Columbia Country Club with Alex Hoffman and Alex McGonigal and then Jackson Schultz from Trump. And we played like, Columbia is not a long golf course on the card, but there's some hidden tee boxes that they have that Alex kind of showed me and we played. And so we stretched it out to like 7,000 par 70. And it's a big golf course. Yeah. It's a big golf course from back there. Yeah. There are some hidden tee box that they've added. There's a couple new tee boxes that they've added. And then there's a couple hidden ones that you wouldn't know were there unless you knew they were there. So we played a couple, and that was a really cool experience because Columbia is a tough golf course and they had the greens pretty firm and it was in immaculate condition. So I was very appreciative of Alex and to Steve Delmar for getting us out there. But I haven't gotten to play any of anything else. We've just been busy, right? I've got, we had our biggest turn or our first big major event of the year on Saturday, Sunday at the club at Westwood Country Club. So I got to play on Saturday in a scramble with Brian Agee, one of the other assistants. But since then it's just been kind of, just practicing, keeping my game up. I'll probably try to play Sunday morning unless we leave early. Our plan is to leave like Sunday afternoon. If we leave early, I won't play, but I'll try and play if we leave at our normal time. And then Saturday, I'll probably end up playing after I get off work in the afternoon with some members. So,
and then, so if, assuming you get, you're in Louisville starting Monday, what will your week look like before Thursday?
Yeah. So we'll do, right now, the tentative plan is just because of the weather. We were going to do 9-18-9. Now we're going to do 18-9-9. So we'll do 18 holes on Monday, 9 on Tuesday, 9 on Wednesday. Just because it looks like the weather on Wednesday may be a little iffy, so I want to make sure I get 18 holes in at least on that first day because the weather for Monday is supposed to be beautiful. So, and then we'll, you know, Monday probably we'll play 18. We'll take it a little bit easier as far as like beating balls on the range. So we'll be doing any beating of balls on the range on Monday, probably do some short game. Then on Tuesday, it'll be probably a longer ball striking session and then play 9 holes. And then same thing on Wednesday, probably play 9 early and then hit some balls afterwards and then go get ready for ready for the next day.
Are you close with Josh Spate, the other member pro from the section that made it?
Yeah. Spate's fantastic. So Spate's a Methodist guy as well.
Okay.
So Spate and I have played together a bunch of times. We went head to head in the section championship that I won in 2021. We finished 1-2, and he's been on the other end and gotten me a more than a couple times. He's a fantastic player. He's a great guy. So we actually spent a bunch of time together in Frisco. We played all 3 practice rounds together. And there's a funny story that I'll tell. It's interesting. So last year Spate made the PGA at Oak Hill. And his caddy cooked him chicken parmesan the night before the first round, and he made it. So the shtick this year was Spate was like, I need chicken parmesan again this year. And so Paige was like, hey, can we get in on that? Like, we want to make the PGA too. So we went over on Saturday night before the first day, and had chicken parm with Spate and his caddy and the other guy they bring with them, Sam Wallace, and we both ended up making it, which is kind of funny. So the chicken parm is 3 for 3 so far.
Oh wow! You guys, the only two that had the magic chicken parm.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Yes, so yeah, it's a neat little thing that I think is hilarious. And I told Joe Spate's caddy, I was like, okay, next year we're getting a house together for the PNC, and you're cooking chicken parm every night. Spate's great. He's awesome. He's a fantastic player, and he's just a good dude. We enjoy hanging out together, and like I said, we spend a bunch of time together.
I love it. Well, best of luck next week. So let's get into a little bit just about you and just around here. So you're at your assistant professional, as you just talked about at Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
When did you move over from Springfield? You were at Springfield for quite a while, and why?
Yeah, so it was it's been about a month and a half. Yeah, so I started in late March, so like March 26th, I think was my first day. So yeah, it's been about a month and a half. The why, I just, you know, it was time for a change. Our director of golf, Josh Tremblay, took a phenomenal job up at Lehigh Country Club, which we're very happy for him about. And then our head professional, Roger Welch, actually took a job down in Columbia, South Carolina. Shout out to both of them. They're huge mentors for me. And I couldn't do none of even what I'm doing now at Westwood would have been possible without Josh, especially, you know, giving me the opportunity to play and be who I was at Springfield. But it was, you know, it was time for me to get a change and get a different look and a different perspective in the golf industry, right? So when you're looking from a club professional's perspective, my resume had a lot of upward movement at Springfield. So, you know, I was able to move up the ranks at Springfield and get up to first assistant before I left. But what a lot of your director of golfs and head professionals are looking for now is, can you do it at multiple places, right? You know, were you just in a good situation at your place you were at and that's why you thrived? Or can you do it in different situations with different memberships with, you know, different requirements expected upon you, which is kind of why I wanted to get it. You know, the job at Westwood came open and I told Paige and I talked about it. There were two jobs I would leave Springfield for. And it was a job at Creighton to work with her and to be over there at that phenomenal facility working for Robert Bloomer or Westwood, because surprisingly enough, actually last year I came really close to moving over to Westwood, but Josh convinced me to stay, you know, and gave me a promotion to first assistant, which I don't regret at all. I was very happy about it. And I don't know if I was quite ready last year. I think I learned a lot of stuff at Springfield last year that gave me the confidence to feel like I could do it this year. And so it's worked out great. I miss and love everybody at Springfield. It was a part of who I am for, you know, 6 years, but it's been really, really good at Westwood so far.
This may be a naive question, but when you say, you know, you talk about thriving at a certain club and proving that you can thrive at another, like what would prevent somebody from thriving? I mean, is a lot of that just like how you ingratiate and how members like you and working with you, the rest of the staff, or, you know, how does someone thrive versus not thrive?
Yeah, it comes down to a personability standpoint, right? So every membership's different. If you were to look across the country, every membership has their own little nuances, their own things that they like a certain way, and they're all, it's all different people, right? So it's finding a fit and finding out what works for you, but also finding a staff that is really good. I've been blessed and very fortunate. We had a phenomenal staff at Springfield. I was very lucky, and we have just as good of a staff at Westwood. Matt Gallagher, head professional, is great. Brian Agee, Steve Wolf, Robert Reed, Robert's first assistant, and Steve and Brian are also assistants with me. And then Dominic Reed and Billy Hoffman Billy's a director of instruction, Dom's a teaching professional. They're just great. They've supported me every step of the way so far. Even though I've only been there a month and a half, you know, they've taken me on as their own, which is really good. Like, I don't feel like an outsider at all. And it's been nice to have, you know, Brian, Dom, and Billy are fantastic golfers. So it's been nice to have a little bit of that competition back. You know, when Ian McConnell left Springfield, he's another really good player in our section. He and I were really competitive with each other, and I think it made us better. And I kind of missed that since he left, having that, you know, that other person to really push me playing-wise. And now I've got three of them. So it's been a great situation so far. And it is, to get back to your point, it depends a lot on how you can interact with members and how you fit in the flowchart, right? And how your dynamic with your fellow professionals works. So, and it's also from a long-term perspective, finding what club works for you, right? So finding, you know, hey, does what this club stand for make me feel like I'm a better professional, or it elevates me as a professional and I can provide what they're asking of me, you know, in this scenario or in this area. So it's kind of cool. And like I said, I love Springfield and it was great. And Westwood has been just as good too. I'm very lucky to have made the leap and it be really good so far.
It's got to be a tricky balance. I mean, it's a unique profession, but you've only been at Westwood for a month and a half, but you're also, you know, you're competing, you're going down to Frisco. Yeah. Now you're going to Louisville for a week and you're pretty active in the section. Mm-hmm. When some of the playing events, you know, does the membership, they must get a sense of pride that they've got one of their assistant professionals, you know, that qualify for the PGA Championship. But what is that balance like playing versus working?
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, it's one that I don't think, I think I had a really good grasp on in 2021 of that balance. I also wasn't, you know, I was still a young professional at that point and we had a good staff. So I wasn't asked to do as much. I think in 2022 and 2023, as more things got put on my plate, as they should, you know, as I was moving up the ranks, I had more responsibilities. I don't think I did a good job of finding that balance that I had in 2020 and 2021. And I think now I'm kind of getting back to finding that again. I'm figuring out, I'm planning out my days and kind of finding times to put work in around my schedule. But it's also the membership has to be bought in, right? And the staff around you has to be bought in. They have to, you know, they have to know that this is Larkin's thing. This is what he likes to do. Like I'm not a, you know, when I applied for the job, I told Matt, hey, to be totally honest with you, like my weekends are Monday, Tuesday. And what I mean by that is, you know, most of our section events are on Monday, Tuesdays. So like the days that I will mostly want to be gone are Monday, Tuesdays. And I was like, if you want to work me 12 hours a day on Saturday, Sunday, do it. That's fine. Like I'm good with that. I just, you know, it's finding the balance between where you can keep your game up, but make sure that the members are taken care of. Cause that's priority number one. And I know it sounds cliche, but like, that's my job. That's my day-to-day grind is making sure the members are taken care of and doing my best to help elevate the experience we give at Westwood. And then I try to my best to fit getting ready for golf tournaments around that. And to be totally fair, Matt and the rest of the staff are great about giving me opportunities to go play. Like, it's not like, Larkin, you better find time around your schedule. You know, we need you here, here, and here. And other than that, like, no, that's not how it works. Like if they are so helpful and in making the schedule work for me, and all they ask in return is that, you know, I try to help out with the other guys when they need help too. Like Steve, our other assistant, Steve's getting ready to have a baby. So we're going to pull some extra weight for him when he's gone, but that's how it works. Sure. That's how the dynamic works. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I think that's the best way to get that done.
Talk to me a little bit about the Mid-Atlantic PGA section, the competition. So I know that, I think they renamed it the last couple of years, like the Silver Crest Cup that's like the section championship, right?
So actually, no. So the Silver Crest Cup is separate of the section championship. So we still have our section championship.
Shows what I know.
Well, no, it's a good question. So Silver Crest Cup, Silver Crest, again, another great sponsor of the MIPGA, and they sponsor the Philly section and the New York section as well. And I think they might have one other section that I'm forgetting, but they love PGA professionals. They're members at a bunch of big clubs, and they see it as giving back to PGA professionals. So they put a bunch of money towards some big events, and you qualify through four qualifiers throughout the year. And if you make it to the Silver Crest Cup, first place is $15,000, second place is $10,000, and third place is $5,000. And then the rest of the field gets paid out based on entry fees. So and Silver Crest puts some extra money into the four qualifying sites as well. So it's really a cool thing. I mean, they see it as giving back to PGA professionals, and they want the trophy they want the Silver Crest Cup.
Okay.
To come back with the winning professional to their home club. So, you know, the members see it and think, oh, Silvercrest, what's that? And then they get notoriety from that as well. But
have they designed that a little bit like the FedEx Cup? Like you kind of acquire points?
A little bit, but there's only four qualifiers for it. So it's not like a season long thing. But yes, to a very broad extent, you're correct. Yeah. And so I think it's a great thing. The event they put on last year at Hermitage was fantastic. I think we're going back to Hermitage again this year in Richmond, which it's just great. They did a phenomenal job. So
where's the, I'm looking at the Mid-Atlantic PGA website right now. So where's the section championship?
It's actually at Hermitage as well.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So Hermitage is pulling double duty this year. So Hermitage has actually, they're hosting one of our APA events the week before the section championship. Then they go section championship in first week of August, and then Silver Crest Cup is October. I want to say the second week of October, end of the second week of October. So
now you've won the section championship and section play of the year at least mm-hmm. a couple times. I don't know your full resume, but how many?
So times? I won section championship and player of the year both in 2021. Nice. So I gave it a run last year for section player of the year, but Delmar played just fantastic the entire year. So he ended up being player of the year, but I finished third last year, which it was a very, very good finish for me. I was very happy with it considering I was kind of the beginning of the year. I was kind of in a little bit of a slump.
So give a few shout outs when you go to one of these section tournaments, whether it's the championship or whatever, what other pros that when you see on the tee sheet, you say, okay, game on.
Oh geez, there's a bunch of them. We have a deep section field. I mean, I would say Spader's obviously one of them. Josh Spader, he's every time. I mean, he could shoot 6 under any day. Delmar is another one. Delmar's a fantastic player.
Delmar's at Columbia Country Club.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Montross down at Farmington. He has been the last 2 years, especially. He has been really playing some great golf. Jeff and I played together the third round of the PNC this year. He made the cut as well at the PNC, which was kind of cool.
And he was a pro at Avenel for
yes, for a long time. Yeah. And he's now down at Farmington. He's a fantastic player. John O'Leary out at Trump's a great player. Ian McConnell, again, a great player. Billy Hoffman from Westwood is a great player. He's played in a couple PNCs. And then I'm trying to think, I'm going to forget some. Ashley Greer up in Hagerstown. John Moles, who actually I got in a playoff with at Rolling Road in the first stroke play of the year at Worthington Manor. He's a great player. He's a young guy too, just getting into the PGA last couple of years.
So I actually went out to the U.S. Open local qualifier yesterday at PBDI. And
he finished second.
Right. So he played great.
Yeah, John's a great player. He's a really nice guy too. Go ahead.
I was just gonna. Finish your shout outs if you got anybody else. Well,
I gotta also be remiss if I didn't shout out Troy Thorne because he was my PGA golf professional growing up at Hobbs Hole, and he's also a very good player in the section. He's always up there on the leaderboards as well as Young Ju. Young Ju seems to always be up on the top of the leaderboard somewhere. So Josh, and I think you saw Josh Apple yesterday too.
He's
a great player too, and Drew Falvey. So Josh and Drew made the PNC and played a practice round with Spate and I. They're both great players too.
You mentioned a couple times Wells Fargo. I saw you out at the Wells Fargo a couple of years ago. Was that a sponsor's exemption or did you qualify for Wells Fargo?
So that was, I got that based off of my finish in player of the year. So that year, because we had the exemption, the tournament was in our section, they gave the exemption to the player of the year and that's how I got in. So it was really nice to be able to, for that to be the year I played some of my best golf ever, because it got me an extra, a tour event, which is really cool.
So will this be next week at Valhalla, will this be your third tour event or am I missing one?
This will be my third. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it. So have you tried to, since I got the US Open qualifying fresh in my mind from yesterday, have you gone through qualifying? Do you try that every year or no?
So yeah, I do try it every year. Actually, with my finish in the top 20 at the PNC, I get exempt into final qualifying. So I'll be playing at Woodmont. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yep. So that's exciting. I'm very, very excited about that because I love Woodmont North. I think it's one of the best golf courses in the section and I think it really fits my game. So, and when they had it out there in 2021, I played very well. I had a chance coming down the stretch and made a couple bogeys, but I was right there with 4 holes to go. So I feel like that golf course fits my eye really well. So I'm excited to get out there again and try and qualify.
I love it. Well, I'll be out there. I'll be watching play. Good luck there. Well, before I let you go, I got to ask, you just mentioned it briefly. It's been on my list of courses to play for a long time, but tell me about Hobbs Hole.
Oh, so Hobbs Hole is just, it's a great golf course. I mean, I played golf there as a junior and learned everything I knew about the game pretty much.
This is essentially a course you grew up on or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We live 12 minutes away from it. I grew up playing there every day with Carter Morgan, Reed Thorne, Troy's son, Lance Wheeler. We played that was our home course. And it and was really
for that,
nice.
For those that aren't familiar with Hobbs Hole, where did you grow up and where is it?
Yeah, Tappahannock, Virginia. So out on the Rappahannock River, Northern Neck area. It's about 50 minutes northeast of Richmond. It was a great place to learn the game. Great layout. It was really always in good shape. Like if you think about,
if you
think about a semi-private kind of daily fee facility that I think it was $50 to play. I mean, it was fantastic for what you paid to play there. And obviously Troy took care of us and Billy Cook, the Cook family, they were great to us. The fact that the Cooks through Troy allowed us to come out there and play, you know, we worked like 2 days a week and they were like, oh, that's good enough. You guys can play golf for free. Like the fact that they let that happen. Yeah. I mean, it was instrumental in who myself, Carter Morgan, was a great player for ODU, played Division I, Lance and Reed, like who we became as golfers now. You know, now Reed's getting into the PGA. He's in one of Troy's assistants at Country Club of the Highlands because Troy's not at Hobbs Hole anymore. He's now in Richmond. But it's a great place. If you get a chance to check it out. Because especially if you're in like the spring and fall time, that golf course is in such good shape for, again, a course that you're paying $50 to play. I mean, it's a special place. It really is.
And you also had your dad as your high school coach. Is that right?
So no, my dad wasn't my high school coach. My dad was a high school coach and that's how I got into the game, was kind of tagging along with him and the boys and girls on the high school golf team.
How did that practice? You mean he was done coaching by the time you came of age, or how did you not?
Yeah, so,
how was he not your coach?
So he coached me in middle school. But by the time I had gotten to high school, he was out of coaching. He was an assistant principal at the time. So that's kind of, I just missed him. You know, he coached for forever and then eventually moved up to assistant principal and then principal. And now he's actually assistant superintendent of our entire county of schools in Essex. So,
oh, wow.
I learned everything I know, groundwork about the game from him and Troy. I mean, they taught me everything I knew up until, you know, I got to Methodist and learned a lot from Coach Conley there.
Very cool. Well, Hobbs Hole has been on my list. I have some buddies that have played it and really enjoy it. I need to get down there and check it out, play around. Any other courses in that area? And what I was actually looking this up, because I've been down to the Northern Neck. I've been down to Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
The area, but when you're south of the Rappahannock there, what is that called? Is that the Middle Peninsula? Is that
where you grew up? Yeah. So Essex gets lumped in with the Northern Neck technically because we're right on, or Tappahannock, because we're right on that river, the Bridge River. And we were in the Northern Neck Conference we played with like Rappahannock, Colonial Beach, Northumberland. So we got lumped in with them. We are technically on the Middle Peninsula, but we always get lumped in with the Northern Neck.
There's not a ton of golf courses there. I mean, the King George had a golf course, but I think that's closed.
Yeah. So King Carter was a great golf course out there. An internship there. Yeah. I did an internship out there and unfortunately it's closed down now. I mean, it was actually, so a little bit of nugget. I'm a golf course architecture geek, so I'll give you a little nugget here. So Andrew Green, who did the Oak Hill renovation, he's done all those renovations for the PGA, did the renovation at Congressional. I mean, he's one of the most in-demand architects out right now.
Sure. Doing Chevy Chase right now.
Yes. His first design was King Carter Golf Club in Irvington, Virginia. Yep. His first design, first solo design. So it was a really cool golf course. I thought it was one of the best challenges around, and it was always in great shape. It's sad that it's gone now. It's a country club, or it's a freaking cross country trail now. It sucks. Oh, but
there's still a driving range there, isn't there? Did they hear that?
I don't think so. I think gone. Yeah, I think it's sad. I mean, it was a special place. Another good one's Golden Eagle. It's a good golf course. Yeah. I mean, that's a test. I mean, they held some really big events back there. There, like Virginia State Am, it's a bunch of qualifiers. So it's a good test. And then Piankatank River Club's a nice little golf course, kind of a they've got three holes on the water out there that are just beautiful. You're like, oh, this is kind of a, so you're like, oh, this is a nice little layout, like nice golf course. And then you get out and you're just sitting on the river, like on the river and playing three holes out there. It's beautiful. And then
I played years ago, but I remember.
Oh,
it's
such a cool little spot there. I love it. It's actually owned by part of my, so my family on my mom's side owns Piankatank.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, cool. And then there's Mattapani Springs is obviously a little further, but that's up in near Fredericksburg. That's a great golf course as well.
Yeah, that's fun.
There's a bunch of good little hidden gems down there.
For sure. Well, listen, I best of luck next week at Valhalla. Huge week. We'll be pulling for you and watching, I'm sure, golfers throughout the section. One question, obviously all the pros are looking to repeat what Michael Block did last year. You know, here's my question. I have a couple of Michael Block questions before we go. Not a couple, but one, like, how do the PGA professionals, how do you view, you know, what he did? I mean, inspiring. And one of the reasons I ask, I listen to a lot of other golf podcasts, and I think some of the folks in the media were almost, he was great. Like there was not a single person on the planet that wasn't pulling for him at Oak Hill. And his ace in the final round was just incredible. I think some of the folks in the media were almost like, okay, months later, maybe there was like maybe too much blocky mania. I don't know. But how do you guys view what he did and how can someone replicate that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can only speak for myself. I mean, and actually I'll speak broadly first for all of us. Sure. You know, what he did proves that we deserve a spot. Right. That it proves that anytime somebody like Blocky obviously went ballistic, but Brad Merrick and Ben Cook both made the cut at Kiowa at a really hard golf course. Like anytime a PGA professional can go out on that stage and make the cut, we validate the fact that we're there. So there's a lot of people. I'm not going to say any names because I don't know them personally, because I think if they said it to my face, we'd have to fight. But there's a lot of people that believe that we shouldn't get the spots we do in the PGA Championship. And anytime one of us goes out and does something crazy like that, it validates the fact that we deserve to be there. So that's just from a broad standpoint. I think every PGA professional can agree with that. From my own standpoint, Blocky and I were partners at the PGA Cup. We played all the team events together. He's a fantastic person, and I'm so happy that it happened for him and to him. I think he's great. And I think if you look at it if you look at what happened, I mean, the sheer like craziness of and what had to go right for it to happen, to hit a hole in one on the final day, it was a dunk. It wasn't even like it didn't roll. He just jarred it. Playing with Rory, shooting even one over at the PGA at one of the hardest tournaments of the year. I mean, I don't know how you can not like it. Like it was awesome. He's everything you think he is. He's a great guy. He's a phenomenal golfer. I mean, he's insane. He's one of those guys that like when he gets going, you cannot stop him. There is no valve to shut it off. It's like a fire hydrant. Like you can't stop it. And he's just a good dude. He and his wife were great people. Paige and I spent a lot of time with him at the PGA Cup. But, you know, me being paired with him in the PGA Cup, you know, I was 25 at the time. And he took me under his wing and really treated me like I belonged, which was important because he was a veteran. And he's won a PNC. He's played on PGA Cup teams before. And so he could have very easily just kind of been like, oh, like you're my partner. We're just going to do our, you know, he could have been like that. Instead, he was, you're my guy. Let's go. I'm going to do everything in my power to help you help us win. Right. So,
yeah.
And I think that was really cool. And it was something that I needed. And they were all like that. All the guys on the team were like that. But, you know, because I was paired with Blocky, I saw it firsthand. You know, I mean, he's a great player. And he took me under his wing and kind of helped me elevate my game that week. And we played great together. I mean, we went 3-1 as partners, which is awesome.
That's awesome. That's good to hear, man. That's awesome. It's a shame he didn't get through this this year. But
that's funny. You know, so he's exempt.
Oh, he is? Oh, because of his performance last year?
Yeah.
But, so then, but he still played at the in Frisco, didn't he?
Yeah, he graciously bowed out and didn't get in the top 20. So I'm not going to say my thoughts on this, but the way that it came out, what they voted on was if Blocky got in the top 20, there wasn't an extra spot. It wasn't like he was exempt. He still counted, so it would have kicked somebody out and he would have gotten in. But if he got in a playoff, he was going to bow out of the playoff because he was already exempt. But he ended up finishing like T33 or whatever. Yeah. And I think that knowing him, it was hard for him because he's a competitor. I think he's happy that he still gets to do what he wanted to do, but he also got 20 other PGA professionals in because that's just the guy he is. Like, by no means did he like throw it or anything, but I think when he was looking back on it, he's like, I went up to him afterwards and I was like, hey man, I was like, how'd you play today? He goes, oh, I didn't play good. And he goes, you made eagle in the last hole, right? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he goes, dude, that's sick. And I was like, it's okay you didn't play good. It's almost like you're already exempt. Like, it's almost like you didn't have to play good to play in the PGA Championship this week. So he's still going, which is great. I'm hoping to possibly play a practice round with him, but he's a great guy. And I'm very grateful for the time that I got to spend in getting to know him and his wife at the PGA Cup, because they're just great people. And I obviously wish him all the best because he's as good as they come.
Well, that's cool. That's great to hear. That's cool. I had no idea he was already in. That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think we're at time here, so I'll let you go. But again, congratulations on qualifying next week. I wish you all the luck, and we'll be pulling for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C. and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about D.C. golf.